The Life of Gustavus Adolphus. Adolphus's Education, Part 2. We have just a little bit here before we move on to other things, but we need to get rid of it right now. Now, Gustav Adolf's tutors attached a special importance to knowledge of languages and oracle fluency. Skite himself, a master of these accomplishments, held out as examples in this respect Elizabeth of England, quote, "that goddess among women," end of quote. And she hadn't been dead for very long. And Landgraf Mortz of Hesse, whom Skite himself extolled in a formal oration during his study years in Germany. The results were to show that these exhortations had been taken to heart. In his youth, says Axel Oxenstierna, he obtained a thorough knowledge and perfect command of many foreign tongues, so that he spoke Latin, German, Dutch, French, and Italian like a native. He understood Spanish, English, and Scotch, and had been besides some notion of Poland and Russian. Spanish, a language important for the knowledge of military literature, we know that he studied with Skite. Greek he knew less well, if we may judge from the fact that in as late as 1627 he was taking lessons in it from Burr. Of modern languages, other than his two mother tongues, he seems to have been most at home in French, though it had not attained its full stature as the language of par excellence of diplomacy and culture at that time. Latin at the time, the staple language of diplomacy, he spoke and wrote with ease, contrasting in this respect with his father, though sometimes he would profess to be getting rusty in it if he saw his interlocutor fumbling for a word. Exercises in Latin rhetoric came in the curriculum at an early stage. We know from the notebooks of Burr that upon some state occasion or other in later summer of 1604, Gustavus Adolphus and Johann delivered public orations, possibly as an exercise before the Rad, then assembled at the Stockholm Castle, or possibly in honor of Skite, who was raised to the nobility about this time. Burr seems to have lent the youngsters a hand with their opus. From the following year comes an imaginary philippic composed by Gustav Adolf in the style of Cicero and corrected by Skite against Counselor Hengskild Belki, who had come before the judgment at the Reichstag and was afterwards to share the fate of the magnates executed at Linköping. The speech is noteworthy only as witness to the atmosphere in which Gustavus Adolphus grew up. Of course he practiced rhetoric in Swedish too, and made Johann Skite. And when Johann Skite was married in the spring of 1606, Gustavus Adolphus made the usual speech on behalf of the bride. In addition to this training for kingship with its strictly practical aims, he also, especially after his 10th year, attended council meetings and audiences to watch and listen to the proceedings. We have referred already to his presence with his father at the Norrköping Reichstag of 1604. At the great meeting of the Committee of the Estates at Örebro in the spring of 1604, he was, for the first time, given an official function to perform, that of presenting to the estates the king's written declaration touching a matter which was once again given rise to anxiety. Karl was threatening to abdicate in favor of Duke Johann, and on this occasion the threat seemed to be more seriously intended than formerly. "The regal office and government are a heavy burden," said Karl in his declaration, "and contrary to received opinion, more is required of their assumption than a store of fair words and fine raiments," end of quote. However, the estates strove to outdo one another in assurances of fidelity, and in the end, Karl promised to resume his thankless task. At this point on, we're going to be looking at some of the events that take place, because the next few years are extremely difficult, because the new monarchy was standing on pretty iffy ground at this point. So we'll be looking at that next time. The sources for this are Gustavus Adolphus versus Wallenstein by Pike, Gustav Adolphus, Sweden and the 30 Years' War, 1630-32, by Volk, The Lion of the North by Henty, Gustav Adolphus the Great by Onlund, and Gustav Adolphus and the Rise of Sweden by Roberts, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 1, Infantry by Brzezinski, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 2, Cavalry by Brzezinski. So I hope you enjoyed that. As always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.